Blog Talk Radio. Today is the 28th of November in 2021. I thank God again for him allowing me to have this 6-0 birthday on today and allowing me to be able to be on Smile3E Blog Talk Radio, taking you on a journey with me on my 60th birthday. I'm so honored by God to still be here. And as the older people would say, with a portion of my health and strength. So I'm going to turn the program over to Minister Sheila so that she can pray for us and pray with us. Minister Sheila.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I want to thank God for this day, and I want to wish my sister a happy birthday, that the Lord has blessed her to make another year. And it was so magnificent of him, because yet we are never promised another day, another minute or a second, but I thank the Lord for blessing her to be here with us on her wonderful numerous day. I give honor to God, who is the head of my life, the head of our life, the head of all our lives, that they should recognize and to realize that without the Father, God and the Son, Christ, Lord Jesus, we would not exist. We would not be here today. Lord, I thank you, because I know if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be celebrating this glorious day from us. Sister and her birthday, but Lord, I thank you and I thank you and I thank you. I thank you for Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser on her beautiful birthday, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Brandon, Minister Margot McCoy, Dr. Serena Wright, Evangelist Missionary Tony Montgomery, and Linda Handy, Pastor. If I have it right, Lawrence Seabury. But Lord, I just want to thank you for each and every living thing on this earth that you have blessed us with. And I thank you. And I thank you for my sons, my daughters, my sisters, my brothers, my uncles, my aunts, my granddaughters, my grandsons, nieces, nephews, my bloodline family, and also my spiritual family. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you, and I cannot thank you enough for the life you have blessed us through all our trials and tribulations, our health problems, financial, on the job, in the family, in the neighborhood, even within our own selves that we have had problems that you have brought us through. I thank you to bless us through this government, to let them realize they are here for all the people, not some of the people, not just a handful of people, but you are here for all God's sons and daughters. And bless this police force that they might rise up and work for all the people, all nationals, nations, peoples, no matter what your color is, your race, your creed, your religion, or whatever. We are all human beings of all one life that God has given us. And Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and to keep us and to bless us for over this past holiday that you have given us to be together with our loved ones or even within ourselves. And Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. And I'll give it back to you, Apostle.
Amen. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. So that is my birthday song on today, that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I am so honored. If I had to give the things that I'm going to share a message title on today. So please take this journey with me. The need to be honest, even if the truth makes you look bad, or when hearing your name is more important than glorifying God. You know, I said, God, this is a strange birthday message. But then I realized that this is the day that the Lord has made. And it's all about him. It's all about his grace. And it's all about his mercy. So on today, I'm going to share a little a few things that I shared on Facebook during the course of last week, and also scriptures. So it says, I said, greetings, Facebook. Remember, and the truth will be the one that God tells. Many will tell you the story that leans towards a pity party, or they did me or you wrong, or woe is me. And the others will give you a story that says, I gave you food and shelter and so much more. But God's story will say, grace and mercy and love is what I told you for them. God will be glorified for it all. To God be the glory, mercy God, mercy in Jesus' name. So I'm going to share these scriptures, and I'm going to come back later and let you know the book that they're from. But for right now, I'm going to share verses 19 through 36. It is a good thing to hope for help from God, and that's the title of it. I've never forgot, or I'll never forget, the trouble and the utter lostness and tastes of ashes, the poison I've swallowed. I remember it all. Oh, how well I remember the feelings of hitting the bottom. But there's one thing I remember, and remembering I keep a grip of hope. Loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. That tells you where it's from right there. How great your faithfulness. I'm sticking with God. I'll say it over and over. He's all I have got left. God proves to me to be God, to the man who passionately waits, to the woman who diligently seeks. It's a good thing to quietly hope for help from God. It's a good thing when you're young to stick it out through the hard times, when life is heavy and hard to take. Go off by yourself. Enter the silence. Bow in prayer. Don't ask questions. Wait for the hope to appear. Don't run from trouble. Take it full faith. The worst is never the worst. Why? Because the master won't ever walk out and fail to return. If he works severely, he also works tenderly. His stockpiles of love, loyal love, are immense. He takes no pleasure in making life hard and throwing roadblocks in the way, stomping down hard on luckless prisoners, refusing justice to victims in the court of high God, tampering with evidence. Wow, that's something, tampering with evidence. And the master does not approve of such things. So let me be honest. The need to be honest, even when the truth makes you look bad, can make you think from time to time when you told a lie or a half-truth, if there is such, or practice avoidance to manipulate or change the story, to hurt others or more. please, Selah, think of a moment that you may have told a lie or a half-truth in order to look good when you're telling your part of the story. Well, on this morning, God is saying to repent. Yes, on this birthday morning. Because if you have not already repented or for what you had the potential for covering up to make you look bad, know that there's a number of reasons that people do this. And some of those reasons are, as I said, to avoid the trouble that are the consequences for attention seeking, because out of the irony of everything, it's really about attention. Or because you covet something or you're jealous about something dealing with a person or a particular life. Or because you're trying to cover something. You're trying to pretend. You're trying to wear a mask because what you want to look like. Or because, sadly, you want to control a situation down to the smallest atom. Or because of curiosity, you have this childlike behavior that says, I'd rather harm others than myself. Or because you don't want anyone to be disappointed in you, or you don't want to feel uncomfortable, so you choose to deceive, or in a reason to self-protect, you know, to make sure that you're not perceived as the person that needs to be defended, or because you just desire not to tell the truth because it's a tactic. You want to deny the reality, so you intentionally lie, and sometimes it's unintentional, or because it's a habit. I remember when Apostle Sandra Thomas, when God used her to bless us, to tell someone, you know, you're wondering why people don't believe you. And she told him, she said, you've been telling lies all your life. So remember how long you've been lying? You may have to spend that amount of time telling the truth before people believe that what you're doing isn't a lie. Some people lie or tell stories in order to harm others or to hide things because they want to hide the accountability of what and who really did it. Some people lie or tell half-truths or change the story because they're intimidated. Some do it just because of them just having an indifference. It doesn't really matter to them. Some do it because they're trying to impress somebody. Some do it because they're an abusive person and they're trying to manipulate or abuse a situation. Some do it to minimize or maximize a situation. Some do it in order to receive sympathy or to suppress a problem or the truth. Some do it because of their ego. They want to prove that they're superior. It's that superiority complex. Some do it because they're being a passive-aggressive person that's just trying to procrastinate, to put something off. Some do it to protect themselves, and some do it to protect others. Some do it because of the perception that they want other people to have of them. It's just a lie. It's not an accurate or real perception. Some do it, believe it or not, because they're just drama. It's all about stirring up stuff. They're bored. They want to do something to cause trauma. Some do it because they're trying to elevate themselves. They're trying to promote themselves. They're trying to appear to be a person of such high moral standards of perfections. Some do it just because they're doing it because they're trying to be funny. Imagine that, trying to entertain people to be funny by telling a lie. Others do it just because they're lazy. They just don't want to work to do better. They just want to just do and be as least as they can. Some do it because they have a vendetta against getting someone back or getting you back. Well, here's a few examples of something that I've done in the past. Well, my sister and I used to go out and we would go different places. Now, we knew our parents told us that we had to go places together and return together. where we leave out the house together, we go our separate places, then we meet up later and walk in the house like we had been together all the time. We were doing it in order to do what we wanted to do, how we wanted to do it, but yet make it appear to our parents that we were following their rules. We were manipulating a situation and being deceptive to our parents. Did we ever tell them about it? Not really. Another time, I was hiding the racism and the microaggressions that I was experiencing. I was hiding it out of fear. And in some cases, I was doing it to protect my team. So some of the reasons that I gave earlier. What about when I didn't tell my family about the molestations and the sexual abuses that I myself had received, you know, those family secrets? Did I ever tell my parents about it? Yeah, when I was 40 years old, when the people that had touched me inappropriately and did all manner of evil, I did it in order that I thought to protect my parents. But was I really doing it to protect them? Or was I being a victim of being a victim? Or was I trying to protect the person? Did I love them so much that I was willing to accept the hurt, accept the pain? For whatever reason, was it because they taught you if you something like that happened to you, you brought it on yourself? So did I do it because I didn't want them to look bad? I didn't want the person to be hurt? Why did I do it? Well, I believe it was for all of the above. So that's me being transparent. So then I said in a prayer that I was praying to God, I said, for whatever reason that I did it, God, if it was me wanting to be glorified, if it was me wanting people to think that I was so suchy-muchy, whatever the reason, Father God, throughout my life, throughout eternity, decrease me and increase thee. Let me live a life that truly says, be it unto me according to your word and your will. Let me live a life that truly says, not my will, but your will be done. Father God, let me truly live a life that says, I accept what you allow. God, let me live a life that says, mercy, Lord, mercy, Lord. Although I was praying and seeking God and I saw a great falling away. And this falling away that I saw, I was saying to God, God, why am I seeing this? I felt like my heart was so heavy for the great falling away. And then I was able to see the reason or the great falling away. There were so many people going before God on Judgment Day, and they were saying to God, my bishop taught me this. My prophetess and my prophet taught me this. My bishop taught me this and said that. My overseer said this. My apostle and my teacher said this. My book that I read says this. I learned this in the movies. I saw this on TV. My friend told me this. My Masonic brother or sister told me this. My Eastern Star sister told me this. I learned this. My relatives told me this. My mother, my father, my aunt, my uncle, my great, my grands, my brothers, my sisters, my cousin, they told me this. And I said, Father God, teach us how to use your wisdom and your word and your will and your way and your grace and your mercy each and every day. Father, teach us to talk about the blood of Jesus that bought us. Father God, teach us how to talk about Jesus and the word made flesh. Father God, teach us how to talk about your agape love and your grace and mercy so that we could reign with you and that you wouldn't reject us because we had a relationship with you through our bishop or our pastor or our sister or our brother. Teach us how to have a relationship with you and that we had that relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Teach us, God, that none of us would come before you quoting what someone told us other than you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that you will reveal mysteries to us, that when we come before you on Judgment Day, we wouldn't be a people that never had a true relationship with you. I thought about Herod and how he gave a shout out and he was talking about not a man, but how he was talking about how the angel of the Lord smote him. And because he gave not glory to God, but that he was willing to be eaten by worms in order to take the glory from God. There are things happening in our lives that we don't realize we're doing and taking God's glory. We need to understand God takes his glory seriously. It's important to him. So when we're bragging and boasting and walking in vanity and pride, or we seek to always hear somebody call our name or give us credit for this or that, or walking in selfish pride, or focusing on ourselves or talking about, I did this, I this, I that, I. How often are we stealing God's glory? Cecilia, how often are you stealing God's glory? How often are you waiting to hear your name called? How often do you give all of these stories about things that God has blessed you to do without saying, God blessed me to bless that person. God used me to do this or that. Well, I was on one of the things that God allowed me to go on with a group of people, and I noticed that every time I said something, someone else, they had something to say. It was like they were competing with me. And God told me to shh. And I said, God, why are they appearing to compete with me? And then I was in another situation where a family member was telling me about what their mother had told them. And I saw them deflecting, doing and saying all manner of evil against other family members to make themselves look good. And when the person was talking to me, I asked them the question. I said, I've been gone since 1979. I've periodically come back, and I joined the military in 1985. What is it that I could have done to you or even that family member that told you that? And God said to me, remember the message that I used when Apostle Sandra Thomas says, lay the blame on me. Ah, glory to God. Lay the blame on me. That's what Jesus did. He said, for all the sins, all the lies, all the things that have been done and will be done, lay the blame on me. See, when we are stealing God's glory, we're not saying, lay the blame on me. We're saying, lay the attention on me. I'm about to talk about something that if you don't like it, talk to God. Some people come in the room dressed to the T at the nth hour, at the beginning hour, just so that everybody's eyes can be on them, whether it's their breasts out or their tight-fitting clothes to show their figure or these expensive, extravagant clothes, not because they like them, but because it's time for them to walk into the place and they want all eyes on them. You're still in God's glory. Of what your mindset is when you're saying, look at me. Or when you bless somebody and you got to tell everybody what you did. You're still in God's glory. There's nothing wrong with looking nice. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with blessing people. But if God uses you to bless somebody, let them know that God used you to bless someone and how humble you are that God used you. I'm going to tell you something that I'm asking each and every one of you all to do. In the future, if you're ever quoting something that a minister or an apostle or an evangelist or a pastor or a bishop or your mama or your daddy or your sister or your brother or your friends have done, please say that God used that minister. God used that pastor to teach me this. God used that person. Don't forget to say that God used them. Even if it's something bad, God used that person to show me what not to do. I know that Jesus is the only way I remembered the fact that God had helped me remember how I had this prophetess that was over me at one time, and I watched her walk in such humility for so many years, promoted her, and she did more and more and more. I saw that walk transition from humility and humbleness to a prideful walk, to a haughty attitude that would walk down the aisles, say, me, 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 I. But at one time, she was so humble. And she fell. After all of that pride, she fell. And I watched her become humble again. I also remembered how God helped me to care about what Apostle Sandra or Bishop Hilton or the various people that were over me on the job or whatever, or what they thought of me. I would try to hide things from them, truths, because I wanted them to have an opinion of me, knowing all the time that it was a lie. And God dealt with me and said, but Cecilia, I know it all. And they don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. And I said to God, forgive me that I forgot that I'm a walking, living epistle, not only read of men, but God, you read my heart. You read my very intention. And I thought about how growing up, I didn't really have a name in our neighborhood. People called me Renee and Sheila's little sister, or Sheila and Renee's little sister, or Belle's little daughter, or youngest girl. Or as they called us, the girls live in that house, that's the butt sisters. They thought all of the women, first floor, second floor, we were all the butt sisters. So whether you call me Apostle Elect, Cecilia, Minister, Doctor, Professor, Child of God, whatever, you called me. The one thing I want you to acknowledge is God first. God first. I love that God has been dealing with my heart. I love that God has been dealing with my spiritual eyes. But when I saw the millions and billions of people stating to God himself, My pastor taught me this. My mama taught me this. My sister, spiritual or battle buddy, taught me that or that. This and this. Here and here. And there and there. And they never said to God what Jesus taught them. They never asked for God's mercy. But they were bragging on what an earthly vessel had taught them. I said, God, mercy, Lord, mercy. God, don't let me in the smallest smidget of a thing come before you telling you what some man or woman that you used, an earthly vessel, taught me. Because whatever you used them to teach me, you taught them, God. And I thank you for every man and woman of God that you've taught. But God, if I don't say that you taught them in the beginning of anything that I say, I'm giving them your glory. Call me self-righteous. Call me whatever you want to. But on this birthday that God has blessed me to have, I refuse to take any of his glory. Ah, yaramase, ketara morosha, ketara si kenderabosha, laramosa. I refuse to stand before God and be accused of taking his glory. As men and women of God, we are called to a higher. We are called to a higher responsibility and accountability. And in that, many people will try to live their relationship with God through us. And many people will even blame us for why they don't make it in. So whether they're glorifying you to take the credit for God or blaming you for falling short of his glory, we must know that God is God. He's God alone. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, Amplified Version, 1 through 17. Now in regard to the coming of the Lord Jesus and our gathering together to meet him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly unsettled or alarmed, either by a so-called prophetic revelation of a spirit or a message or a letter alleged to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has already come. Let no one in any way deceive or entrap you, for that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first. That is the great rebellion, the abandonment of the faith by professed Christians. The man of lawlessness is revealed in the son of destruction, the Antichrist, the one who is denied and destined to be destroyed, who opposes and exalts himself so proudly and so insolently, above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he actually enters and takes his seat in the temple of God, publicly proclaiming that he himself is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now from being revealed. It is so that he will be revealed at his own appointed time. For the mystery of lawlessness, rebellion against divine authority in the coming reign of lawlessness is already at work, but it is restrained. Only until now restrains it take it out the way. Then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the Antichrist, the appearance of his coming. Oh, I read that twice. Let me go on from verse 8. And the end by the appearance of his coming, the coming of the Antichrist, the lawless one, through the activity of Satan, attended with great power all kind of counterfeit miracles and deceptive signs and false wonders, all of them lies, by unlimited seduction to evil and with all the deception of wickedness for those who are perishing because they did not welcome the love of the truth. Of God's word that leads you to spiritual maturity. It was to this end that we called you through our gospel, the good news of Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, so that you may obtain and share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm, hold tightly to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us, given us everlasting comfort and encouragement, and the good, well-founded hope of salvation by his grace, comfort and encourage and strengthen your hearts, keeping them steadfast, of course, in every good work and word. I read that because I want to encourage somebody. The Antichrist spirit that people are walking in when they lie on you or to you or about you is only the enemy practicing to break you, practicing to see if you're going to curse God, if you're going to still be an example to that person. It's good and easy to be an example to someone that's loving on you and that's respecting you as you obey God. It's easy to know that you know without a shadow of a doubt that someone favors you. It's a gift from God to be somebody's favorite. But even in being their favorite, you can't be their God. I remember someone saying to me that someone was showing respect to a person, and they were explaining to me why they felt that way. And it was a blessing that they shared that with me, because I realized that unintentionally, yes, even those that are men and women of the cloth, we may be showing respect to person because we were taught to do that. We were taught to make a difference between people. But God didn't teach us that lesson. It's okay to have a favorite. It's okay to have people that we look up to, as long as we know they're who they are because of God. As long as they were pointing to God on purpose, remember, whether we're taking God's glory on purpose or in ignorance or by mistake, we must know that we know that we know without a shadow of a doubt that without measure, without mannerism or standards, it's about his will. It's about his word. It's about his way. It's about his Holy Spirit. Because if you're being nice to someone and it's contrary to the will of God, if you're blessing someone and it's contrary to the will of God, sometimes in our ignorance, we're blessing someone because they cried and it touched us. But if we pray, God say, don't get in my way. I'm teaching him or her a lesson. Don't become their God. So if we're doing anything to draw attention to ourselves, I'm praying for that family member and those family members who people have told them lies in order to make themselves look good. I'm praying for those family members and friends and associates who've been hurt by others and are covering it up. I'm praying for those friends and families and even foes who are doing things to take God's glory, not realizing that God is serious about his glory, that it's important to him. And honestly, it's important to you too. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Isaiah 42:8. And again, Isaiah 48:11. For my own sake, even for my own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. So whether it's the blame or whether it's the promote, God will not share his glory with anyone. Don't worry. If your heart is right and you've already repented and someone is still blaming you for their shortcomings, pray for them. Pray for God to deliver them. The pity party isn't a party. No one comes. The covetousness, the jealousy parties aren't a party when no one comes. Like God used Apostle Sandra Thomas to tell a member, as long as it took people to tell the lies, it's going to take them that long for people to start believing them. So I'm praying for our loved ones, especially the ones that have been told so many lies that they're thinking certain things about people. And those who have done people wrong in order to gain. But if you gain on this side of heaven, to lose when you reign with him is not worth it. So if I have to be the blunt of someone's lie or mistruths or deceptions in order to pray for them that God will deliver them and on the other side hear, well done, good and faithful servant, lay the blame on me. Oh, I ask you once again to take this journey with me, this journey of knowing that God does not want me to be caught up in hearing my name if it's not saying God used Cecilia to do what up. God used Cecilia to do this or that. God used Margot to do this or that. God used Sheila to do this or that. God used Renee to do this or that. God used Troy and Antoine and Serena to do this or that. Or if you put a doctor in front of, if you put a pastor in front of, if you put prophetess in front of, if you put minister in front of, if you put evangelist in front of it, as long as you said God used them to do it, I honestly believe that he'll know our hearts and that we're not trying to give any man, girl, woman, or child, or adult his glory. So I encourage you on today, be comforted in knowing as you walk through this journey, walk with God. The three-strand cord is that in a marriage. But if you're married to God, you can walk in that three-strand cord as well. So if you haven't heard anything else on today, I pray that you heard God will not share his glory with anyone, not even you or I. That's all I have. I'll turn it back over to you, Minister Sheila. Okay, it seems like Minister Sheila is busy. So.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm talking to my boss. You know, I'm at work, so we was talking. I couldn't answer. But I just want to thank you for your message today, Apostle, and the word that the Lord gave you to bless us with and to take us through all that it is, because I know God has blessed our lives, our household, our family, more ways than one. I just want to say thank you. I just want to say the lines are open to anyone that might have a testimony, a statement, or any words of encouragement. The lines are open.
God bless you, woman of God. This is Minister Margot. I just want to thank you for going forth this morning and sharing what you had with us to help us remember that as our foundational scripture for this ministry is we need to put God first. If we put him first, there's no way we will be out of sync or out of line or out of order. God first is what we need to remember, and I just thank God for the ministry here. I want to again wish you a wonderful day, a blessed day, and a blessed year as you go forward in the Lord, knowing that he has already gone ahead of you in time and made the way. So be blessed, woman of God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Minister Mark McCoy. Is there anyone else?
Good morning. This is Minister Sylvia. Real quick, I just thank God for the ministry today to teach us to say, Lord, it's okay for them to lay the blame on me. I just want to say, God, I repent of everything and anything that I caused you to fit in that statement. Lay the blame on me. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Minister Sylvia Wright. I just want to say, Lord, I thank you for blessing me, you know, blessing us with this family. You know, it was a two-story building. I'm going to bring it back on something the apostle said. Second floor, first floor, full of women, full of girls that the devil have put on many heads. As she said, it's just a house of butts. Because we was all women. Only being there was the fathers. But I thank the Lord to let them know that later on, the house of butts became the house of the wildcats. The house of the women that the Lord blessed us to let the people know we're not an easy target. You can't blame this that the devil is trying to put on us. They became to think of us and cherish us and worship us and honor my mother with royalty. We became from the house of butts to the wildcats because we were the house of women that the Lord have blessed that you attack one, you attack the stable, a lions and tigers. That was a house building that God has blessed us with, that there was no easy target, no matter what the devil tried to put on us, try to shoot toward us, that there was a household that God had covered, that the devil tried to conquer and to misuse and to treat us as targets. But yet they became to be just a household of women that you don't want to mess with. God blessed us to be fighters, to treasure and to learn. And we had Aunt Sweetie and Mama Belle, the head lioness, to bring us through the blessing of God, to raise us as no target that the devil could not misuse us. No matter what it is, we was covered. And I just want to say I thank the Lord, because what was, as the devil tried to make the God show, this is my household, these are my daughters, and to attack one is like attacking a building of wildcats. There's no eager targets for whatever the devil tried to choose on us. And I believe me and Sister Sylvia showed them to be the head gang leaders. We whooped them and made them part of a conquest that made the others leave them women alone. They're not easy. We had the wildness that the Lord had put us into us to let the devil and his animals know we are not the ones. But let that blame be put on us to say we are God's daughters from the top floor to the basement, that he has blessed and carried and treasured and kept us from all ugliness. And I just say I want to thank the Lord for our household, for all my family, and for all that it is, that we are a bunch of women in this generation. Our family line is a bunch of women, but we are all covered and blessed through the God that have blessed us with life. I just want to say I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. And is there anything else or anyone else that has something to say before we end the program? Your time is now. I just want to give honor and to ask each and every one of you to thank you for tuning in and to blessing us with another day, and to cherish and to remember God is the way of life and will always be. I just want to ask you to tune in each and every Sunday morning from 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser. And on Monday nights, which is Iron Sharpened Iron with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright. And I believe our speaker this Monday, it is the fifth Monday, is, could you help me? I think it's Lawrence C. Berry, or is it Evangelist Missionary Tony Montgomery for Monday night, Iron Sharpening Iron, if you correct me, if you can.
Yes, right now.
Pardon me?
It's Youth Monday. That's Reverend Lawrence.
Lawrence Seabury. Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. And on this Friday, Monday night, Iron Sharpened Iron is 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Iron Sharpened Iron. And on Friday night, which is the first Friday of December, which is Let's Talk with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright and Prophet Antoine Thomas. They share the Friday nights and Blog Talk and Willis Facebook for whichever one speaks. It is a mighty powerful word and honor to have and to listen to, which is at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I just want to say thank you and bless us all, and to end this 11th month of 2021 and to bring us into this last month of 2021, December, which is a God-blessed month. It's the month that Jesus was born, and yet to share so many families on outside of birthdays that the Lord blessed to make it to today and to take us through this time of trials and tribulations and to keep us safe for the environment that's out here and to the ones that are struggling and to the ones that want to just hurt people because it's around holidays, which they just figure they can do as they can to whoever they can do it to, blacks, Lord, to cover us all so that no harm and danger come to us. And I want to thank the Lord for blessing my son to bring him through the accident that he was in, that he saved him and helped him drive the truck. Because as he said, and many of us would know, the way that it was hit and the parts that was broke, he lost control of it due to the steering broke. But yet God drove him to safety and to a stop, which no harm was done. And I thank the Lord for that, because we all are blessed one way or another, and we need to understand that no matter what it is, God has control. We just have to pray and put it in his hand and ask us to guide us. And I want you all to remember our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. I just want to say thank you for all of the corrections and to excuse for my mistakes, but I thank the Lord for yet I am here and we are here to participate in this wonderful program. And I just want to say if there's anything else need to be said or anything, you just say it now. If not, have a safe, blessed day and enjoy the word of the Lord, that he is the one and only one to lead you through life of beauty and leave the devil to his damnation. Amen.